Well, first of all, we're going to tie this in with our theme this week as we look at enduring. So our overall session, I want you to just be thinking about how you can use AI to reach different people, maybe that you'd like to invite to youth group. How do you get the gospel out using AI? Are there positive uses of something that we haven't quite completely figured out yet? But I truly believe, and what all the studies are showing, is that it's people like you who are going to determine how AI is used to help people thrive and endure. And I think that's a great challenge. So we'll start looking at running with endurance. You know, how can AI assist you in this race that we're on? We'll look at an overview of AI, because I think when I talked to you, some of you said, yes, I use it every day. Some of you said, I've not used it. That's typical of a group. It's a new topic. So we'll look at the kind of what is it? Why is it important? Why should we know about it? And then we'll also show why it matters for you personally, maybe in school, professionally, and as you do outreach at your church. Some essential skills for using AI, some practical tools and uses, some challenges. I always give students a challenge. And then also how to share the gospel with AI. And I just want to mention that all of the images I created are by Adobe Firefly. Anybody ever use that to create pictures? It's my favorite. A couple of you do. All right. And it's free. And so I really like it. And I was trying to get the sun. I thought that was kind of like focusing on Christ. And I always try to make it look like the people that I will be working with. So instead of going to Google Images and I just say, bring me a picture of a runner, I wanted there to be a cloud of witnesses, you know, so people, I wanted there, so I could describe a lot of things and then it generates the picture that I want. And notice when I talk about ethical use, I always put that down. Like, I don't want you to think I painted that, drew that, something else, but that was created by AI, as all of these are. Okay, so I just want to read the first part of our theme for the week. And notice what I put in green is run with endurance. That's kind of the phrase I want to pick out for us today. So therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So that's what I want us to focus on as we look at, first of all, the challenge I like is that we're challenged to run. It doesn't say walk with endurance. It says run with endurance. And that is the race that's set before us for this time in this place where God's placed you. And he's given us tools to be able to run and get that gospel message out and thrive in our own faith as we do so. I love Ephesians 2:10, where that's been my prayer recently, is that God would help me to accomplish all those tasks, those works that he created for me to do before the world was created, that I would be able to do them. And some of us say, I'll just never get that all done. I believe AI is a tool that God's giving to us to allow us to accomplish all those things that he's created for us to do. Notice, yeah, Jesus is the focal point. We look to him who endured that cross for us. And our theme that was at Concordia St. Paul last year was from Colossians 1. And I think it ties in so nicely because it just says, for in him, all things were created. All things have been created through him and for him. He is, so I'm going to just stop right there. He is the one who is going to hold all things together. So AI is one of those things. That's all things, isn't it? So we have to believe that God can use that in a powerful way. And we're going to look and see that actually 77% of all pastors say AI can be used to share the gospel and in positive ways. And in fact, we've used technology throughout the ages, right, to get the good news out. So that's going to be the challenge for you in this time that God's placed you. So a little overview kind of AI, what is it? It's artificial intelligence, but you know, we're preparing for that AI-driven future, and they had been saying that general AI, where it's going to be able to think for itself, I had been reading it's like 5 to 10 years off, and a gentleman in our last session said they've updated that. They said some of the general AI could be in place by the end of 2025, where it's not no longer word programming or it's using your data. It's just starting to think. So we need to learn about it, and your ethical use will help still determine how it's being used. So what is it? How does it work? Why does it matter? And how do we use it? So what is AI? First of all, it's called artificial intelligence, but it's not really intelligence. It's really probability and prediction. Have any of you watched Crash Course videos? I love them. They smash a big, hard topic into something small. If you, and I put the link in. So again, if you grab this, you'll have access to it. There's a little 5-minute segment that talks about really how AI works. And I think it does a great job. It talks about taking two types of moths, the emperor and the Luna moth, and collecting. They sent people out to collect, like, I don't know, 100, and they plotted them on a graph, you know, according to two characteristics only: the wingspan and then the mass, how much did it weigh? And by plotting those, they're able to kind of draw an X that shows everything in this quadrant is an emperor moth. Everything over here is a Luna moth. And it's 84% correct. And my purpose in telling you that is, a lot of times people say AI isn't always right. And it's not. It is programmed to give you an answer. It will give you an answer. Where you might ask me something, and if I don't know it, I might say, can I get back to you, right? It gives you an answer. So based on the probability of everything it knows, it's going to say it's most likely this. But I'm not 100% accurate either every time I answer. And I bet you're not either. So we do have to always check it. But the wonderful thing is, with two characteristics, you can almost do that plotting yourself. But when we're looking at perhaps a medical diagnosis, we have hundreds of variables, perhaps, and AI can actually plot all of the variables at once, and then it can draw lines that are not just straight lines like I do, but it can go like this, to the point where 99% of the time it's accurate. And that's pretty exciting, I think. It's trained using lots of data. We call it machine learning. It doesn't really have emotion, although it has more and more all the time. It sounds like it does. And if you put in your prompt, answer this question as if you are an angry parent. It sounds angry. Now, it itself is not actually angry, right? But it has kind of learned some of that. But it really doesn't have emotion. It doesn't really understand your culture. So sometimes it might seem like an insensitive response. It doesn't know your tradition. It's not creative because it doesn't make anything brand new. But instead, it pulls from what already exists and then puts it into something else. It can go through the entire internet in seconds. So if I need to do some research, and let's say you came into my youth group and you wanted to talk about President Trump's stance on immigration, maybe that's bothering you. I might not know all of it, but I could really quickly have ChatGPT pull data and summarize it for me, and questions that we could use to discuss. And that would help me, so I don't have to say, well, let's not talk about that because I don't know much about it. We can talk about it when in the moment. It can generate language, as you know, the large language model. And I like this definition of AI, a machine that thinks like a person. This means it doesn't really think, but it can process information the way we do. It looks at, take it, given all these words, probably the next word is going to be this. If I say, I pledge allegiance to the... Yeah, that's exactly what AI does. It's seen that so many times that after each word, it can kind of predict. How many of you have done where you write a text and it finishes your text? It knows enough of how you write. It thinks you're probably going to say this. Sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes it puts in the wrong word, but it takes a guess because it works on probability and prediction. This is a really quick glance at the history of AI. First of all, I just want you to see it's a once-in-a-generation technology. That when the internet came out, we thought that was a once-in-a-generation technology. It went from 0 to 100 million users in 7 years. When ChatGPT started, it went from 0 to 100 million users in 8 weeks. That's amazing. That's why it's not going away. And I believe we should learn how to use it. I don't know if you remember way back to World War II. It was a major war. I'm teasing you. Alan Turing was trying to decode the encrypted codes that Hitler was using to bomb submarines. And he couldn't calculate it with a paper and pencil fast enough. And all the subs were getting bombed. So then he put together an algorithm and he was able to crack the codes. And that actually, they say, ended the war. We don't often hear that, but there is a movie called Imitation Game. Anybody ever see it? If you haven't, I would suggest watching it. It's how he builds that machine. So the term AI actually came out in the 50s and 60s, really talking a lot about game playing, logical reasoning. And then the expert systems came out in the 1970s and 80s. And that was really with medical diagnoses and then financial decision making. What should I do? How should I invest? Because it could look at, again, at all the possibilities and come up with the best scenario. In the 90s and 2000s, we started having those really sophisticated algorithms. Do you get those messages to say, this is potential spam? That started then, where it could go through and look at the phone numbers and perhaps what some of the messages are, and it can just block them for you. So that was huge. And then recommendation systems. You know, I have something that says, you might like this pair of shoes. Because maybe I looked at it different times. Have you had that? And then it pops up. They know exactly what you like because it's predicting. If I've gone and looked at the shoes two or three times, if they pop it up, this might be the day I buy them, right? So they know how I work. And there was that time when IBM created a machine that actually beat the world chess champion. And that was the first time you had man against machine and machine won. And then again, when we got into deep learning, which is where we really are today in 2010, 2020, that was when IBM had Watson. Do you remember when the computer played against the Jeopardy champ of all time? The computer won. And so that was when they were saying, who's really thinking here? Who's smarter? Who can think faster? But then we started having language processing, self-driving cars. And then finally we reached 2022 when ChatGPT happened. And we call them large language models, right? Because they will write using language. Examples, you can just glance at those. Some of you may have Siri or Alexa. You just say, what's the temperature today? You can ask it whatever you want. Spotify or Netflix might say, oh, I think you might like this movie. This is suggested for you based upon your viewing history. Personal uses, we talked about predictive text. Spell check, I mean, do you even think of that as AI? Because it is. And that's just something we don't even... You know, we don't cite AI anymore. It just automatically fixes our spelling, and we're thankful for that, right? When speech-to-text happened, that was when the iPad came out. It was like a game changer in my world because I teach, and the person who could not type could now say their story, and it was typed out. It's kind of like the Google Text. If you use it in Google Docs, it's got, you know, the text writing feature. But that was amazing. I would just speak and it was writing out my story and I could just edit. So, and then of course, video games, safety, you probably have some smart home devices. Maybe you turn on the stereo as you're driving home. So it's playing when you get in. And then today we're going to especially look at sharing the gospel because these are some AI tools that can really help. It can create videos, infographics, the little music that was playing. That's a tool called Suno AI, and it wrote that song for you. I put in a one-line prompt that would be to New Orleans Jazz, because we were going to be here, about sharing the good news with high school students, because I just thought that would be very appropriate. So we'll play that later, but it was phenomenal, and you can put in the genre. And it will write that for how many stanzas do you want? And it will write that for you. And it's very, very professional. I'll show you that at the end. Let's see. It can create slide presentations. I don't know. Any of you use Canva? Yes. Free for schools, professional version. You can just put in your topic or your notes and it will create whatever you want, a poster, because the new magic tools are amazing. We're going to look at creating a podcast. Does anyone use Notebook LM? My new favorite, and you haven't used it yet. Do you know why? Because it was in beta test mode last year, and starting August 1, like in a week, all students can use it, and I'll show that to you, where you can put in your own sources. You can search for them right there. It will summarize. It will take notes for you. It will create a podcast. And when I play it, you're going to say, that's not real humans. And it's not. It's amazing. So be thinking, how might you share good news or invite kids to your youth group or to church with you via one of those methods? Because we know today, if you are a junior or senior, you're Gen Z. And if you're a freshman or sophomore, you're Gen Alpha. And you think a little differently. Did you know that? So depending on who you're looking to invite, but we know, you know, the older students of you are multimodal. You definitely want music, you want video, you want everything. The Gen Alpha are really virtual. It's got to be online. So we think a little bit differently about how do we invite people to come. It can also summarize a sermon. Our church records that, for example. And then you can put it in. It'll tell you every 5 minutes what was being talked about. So if it was your youth group, you could videotape it. And then you could send it out to a friend and say, hey, you'd love it. And they could just go in and listen to different minutes of that. So some effective student uses, because some of you said, yeah, I haven't really used that yet. We believe that there are effective uses. And everything I'm showing you is not just Lori saying that. This is all put into studies that are going on currently to find out more about it. Critical thinking. We're going to look at questioning the AI character about how you can say you are Martin Luther and this is when you lived. And now answer questions as if you're that person or whomever you would like, any person of interest. Verifying the outputs. Again, we said it's not always perfect. And the ideal is human puts it in, you put in the prompt, any information, AI creates it, and then you check it over. That's the way we like to do that. Let's see. It's great for brainstorming topics if you don't know what to write about or you have to do some background checks. And also, just a little bit about, that's in that blue is kind of hard to see, but it says legal implications. So when do you have to give credit that I'm working with AI? And we're working with that a lot at the university level. So this, because some of you are thinking about what am I going to do, right? Some of you are in high school, but you're thinking, what am I going to do for a career? I want to show you. These are the skills and the newest jobs they're saying are coming out that might be of interest to you. So currently, they say every job has at least 10% exposure to AI. And in the next 10 years, they think that will go to 80% impact on work. That means you're going to have to know what do you have to do and what can AI help you do. You're going to be a partner with an AI tool is what they're predicting. And that started this year. So they're just saying that humans who know how to work with AI will replace humans that don't have those skills. And if you look down here, leaders, 66% say they're not going to hire somebody without AI skills. Skipping down here, 71% of leaders are more likely to hire a less experienced candidate that has AI than a more experienced one without them. So these are things we want to keep in mind. And then also, this is a brand new 2025 annual work trend. And I linked all of these sources in this for you in case you want to go in and look at them yourself. But it's called a frontier firm, and it's brand new this year. They're saying so many workers are saying, and maybe students too, I just can't keep up. I get texts and I get emails and I have to do all these things. So they're beginning to say intelligence can be purchased. You can source that out. AI can do that background. If you were going to have to say, wow, I'm going to have to look this up. It'll take me 3 days to find the information. Then I have to create this presentation. And then I have to, you're going to be working together. So it says then a human, and that's AI agent team, will work together. And they say there's a brand new role. I hope we have it at Concordia St. Paul soon. It's going to be called an agent boss. Somebody who works with all the AI bots and checks that they're the most current, that they're accurate, that they're working well. You're kind of like the boss of the AI tools that everybody on your team's working with. I think that's fairly amazing. This is the report. Do you like that image? This is the very first time I've ever seen, and I made it a little bigger for you. The way that they put it is illustrated by Joe McKendry, in collaboration with AI. So what Joe did is wrote the prompt and kind of described what he wanted, and AI drew that image. But that's called legal citing. So it's not like I drew that. And you don't just say, you know, like for me, I just told you Firefly AI drew my images. But I could have said Lori Friedrich in conjunction with Firefly AI, right? So we keep watching that. How do we work together to make these things happen? These are the core skills you want to develop. According to this year's Future of Jobs, number one, analytical thinking, that you can think through things critically, decide, is this right? Is this not right? Resilience and flexibility. You're learning that at this youth gathering. Leadership, social influence, creative thinking. Remember, I told you AI is not creative. It can pull what exists, but it can't come up with a brand new thing. So if you want to come up with a new tool, and youth are, especially high school and college, people are using AI to come up with jobs that they do online careers, and they're writing code and doing a number of just really exciting things. But notice motivation, because you're going to have to work hard, continuous lifelong learning. And then number six is technological literacy. I won't go any further. I mean, curiosity, lifelong learning, it's going to change quickly, right? But I love that those are the skills you want to develop. Now, this is to see if you compare with all of these middle and high school students kind of that were surveyed in 2024, so at the end of 2024, so less than a year ago, and they were asked the question, what do you want adults to know about students using AI? See if this applies to you. So at that time, so in September of 2024, 35% of middle schoolers said that they've used generative AI for schoolwork. And most commonly using ChatGPT to get access information, generate ideas, draft essays. Half of the people 14 to 22 are using generative AI at some point. Only 4% claim to be daily users. So I don't know if that kind of matches with where you are, but these are their five ideas that they want to share with adults. So any parents, youth leaders, this is what youth want you to know. The world is changing. AI can be positive and negative. Thumbs up? Yeah, I would agree with that. AI is not only used to cheat. I hear teachers saying, students, they're cheating with it. Well, then maybe we're giving the wrong assignments, right? But you're using it to do a lot more than that. AI helps with getting answers to questions you're too afraid to ask adults. This just came out with the top 10 stressors for teens. And it's an amazing fact. And adults, if you want to see, I can share that with you. But it says that youth are saying, sometimes we just don't have the words to ask our youth leader or a pastor or a parent, but we want to get feedback. So the Gen Alpha goes directly to AI, like a ChatGPT, to get feedback. AI is a space to explore and create, but you also note it can lead to bullying, lying, and disinformation. So it's both positive and negative. This was from 2023, just so you can kind of visually see how youth are using it. To get information is the biggest one. You want to find something out, help with schoolwork, brainstorm ideas, make pictures, make music, with help in their job to write code. And now this is exciting. This just came out July 4th of this year. So it's less than a month old, right? It's a couple weeks. 89% of students now say that they are using ChatGPT with homework. And 90% of students report that ChatGPT is more beneficial than using a tutor when they study. Now, that's interesting because I do some tutoring, but if you're up at midnight, I'm not. But ChatGPT is, and it can answer those questions for you. Or if you have a really specific question, I may not know the answer. It does. Students are saying it's even more helpful. And I can tell you that many students do use AI in college. And OpenAI is the creator, of course, of ChatGPT, and they've done some surveys, and they found about half of students ages 18 to 24, so the college students, use AI to get started on a project or a paper, get some ideas, summarize long texts that you can take an article. Sometimes we give at college, we give a lot of long articles. You can actually put a link in and have it summarize that for you. That makes it a little bit easier to work with. So you can see those are some of those things. Organize their schedules, do career-related writing. And I don't know if this is you, but in general, what they're publishing is that teens don't fear AI, they learn about it. And I loved these ideas, programming everything from autonomous bicycles that just drive themselves, you get on and it will take you places. Postpartum depression apps for new mothers. They're hearing about needs in society and they're coming up with changes. Let's see, 911 chatbots. So if you had to call 911, maybe you had an issue. Now the bot could walk you through things. And you know, young people are putting these together. And maybe you have seen the Harry Potter robotic chessboard. They're like, if I saw this in a movie, I think I could make it. And they're writing, they're designing these things. So really creative uses. All right. A few essential skills and practical tools. We have to write effective prompts. Whatever you tell it is what it's going to do, right? And it's getting better and better. AI is. You don't have to be quite as clear, but the clearer you are, and all the tools that I will show you are free because that's all that I use. And some of them have limits, right? Like you can generate, maybe it's 10 images a day. So if you start and you give it a very, like create a picture of a boy with a computer. And you get one and it's like a little boy or you want it a certain age, then you do another. You can end up using your 10 prompts up and just get one. If you can say, draw a picture of a high school boy and girl using technology and they're happy. And maybe you even talk about, they're multicultural, whatever you're really wanting to come out. If you put it in, you'll be able to get that back. We're going to talk about using it to share the gospel, practical benefits, some possible concerns, and then how you will determine how AI is used to endure and thrive. How can it help us on our race? So this is a little bit with prompting. I'm going to actually show you an example where you can tell the AI who it is. And I'm going to show you an example with Martin Luther. You tell him when you lived, who you were, what you did, and then you tell that its goal. I want you to answer questions from high school students in a LCMS youth group. And then you can just kind of have the step-by-step answers if you're Martin Luther, and you can kind of go through it that way. And then you try it out. And these are some samples if you've never, because again, you have access to this. These are ideas that you can just copy and paste a prompt into ChatGPT, and it will generate, I believe, what you want. So I want to lead a Bible study or a topic on, and you put it in, to, and maybe it's high school students, maybe it's your turn for youth group, and you're going to do a Bible study on the prodigal son, whatever it's going to be, or it's going to be on a certain topic, immigration. And then say, write a detailed plan that includes, 10 Bible passages, project ideas, and questions, and list 5 quality websites that go with the topic for LCMS Lutheran Youth. That's really specific, but you'll get excellent feedback. I guarantee you, if you copy paste it, and that would be the link. It could put together an outline for your next youth group. What's your topic? How long does the meeting go? What methods could you use to make it more efficient, more engaging? Or that third one that we just talked about. And I'm going to show you my example in a minute. So I'm going to, first of all, just show you kind of what the different tools are. Then I'm going to exit from this presentation and just show you my screen where you can look at the tools and what they actually do. Okay. So we talked about ChatGPT. I'll show you this Martin Luther interview. Did I talk about Notebook LM? I think so. Yes. Thank you. Where you can go ahead and put in your own sources and let it summarize, create a podcast, and then you can download that MP3, that audio file, and you can put it on your, you know, maybe you've got an Instagram feed or whatever your youth group does, how you're going to invite other people to your youth group. Maybe it's a Facebook page or whatever it would be. Remember, they're pretty virtual, right? And so we will look at that. And I will show you a couple of examples, because the one is how to invite a friend to youth group. And I want to actually play that for you. Okay, so this is what it looks like, and I'll show you that in just a second. In Notebook LM, it's got first sources, where you can add sources or discover, and it looks for really good sources. And then chat is where you can go in and summarize or ask questions, and then the studio will create the audio overview. Okay, Suno is, I'm going to play that for you again, but that is where I created the Share the Good News. You can create songs with any type of music for your topic. Again, 10 free per day. That's pretty good. You know, 10 songs a day is a lot. I showed you Adobe Firefly to create the images, 25 free per month. It's pretty good. Canva, numbers of you said you use it. So if you wanted to put together a quick movie or a brochure or a presentation to share the good news, they keep adding AI magic apps there daily, like AI generation, magic media, magic write, design. Anyone ever hear of Perplexity? Yeah, a few people. I like that because it lists the sources. And now you can actually put that in with ChatGPT and say, do this, and then list the sources and list Bible verses to support. And it will do that. Grammarly, do any of you use that to check your grammar? Okay. Yeah. And that's an AI tool. So that's helpful and it's free. PictoChart is an infographic. So it can create a chart, or, you know, it can take words and turn them into an image. So that's a helpful idea. And then that summarize doc tech, and I want to show those to you. So I'll just quick say a few of the practical benefits. You're going to have to learn how to collaborate, I think, with an AI assistant. And I think this is a great way to learn how to do that. It can be a thinking companion. If you told it, one of the most efficient questions that I've seen students use is explain whatever it is, the prodigal son to me, as if I were a 10-year-old, or explain AI to me as if I were a 10-year-old, because then it will take really complex ideas and make them understandable. And that's really helpful. I like the second idea, creating different AI people to ask questions to get different perspectives. And again, it says, try this out before you witness to your neighbor or your friend. And let me just, I think I can pop into this from here. You can also change the readability level. I always kind of tell the story that my brother was a slower reader, and he did not want to go to youth group because they used to go around in a circle and everybody had to read something. And you might have friends that you would love to bring into your youth group or church, and they don't come because they're a little nervous. You can now take whatever it is that you're reading and put it into ChatGPT and tell it, you know, print it out, one at a fifth grade level, an eighth grade level, et cetera. So you can all be reading the same article, but everyone is successful with that. So I think that's powerful. Okay. This last comment I just want to clarify. What's starting to happen is people are talking to like ChatGPT and asking it questions. Those big issues are, how do I keep home and school? How do I combine both? What about a relationship issue? I'm lonely. And they find it hard to put that in words to ask maybe their parent or their teacher or their youth leader or their pastor. So they're asking ChatGPT. And note that when it talks back to you, and I'm going to show you a sample, it really seems like I'm talking to a human. But remember, that there's no one there behind that screen. You know, it's putting up those ideas that you're asking and it gives you good information, but it doesn't have emotions, even though it sounds like it does. It's not a human. So, it's predicting, you know, again, the most likely next word to answer your question. So don't disclose personal information. If it says, well, maybe I should, where do you live? Maybe I could help you with that. Don't give that information out just because you don't want that out there on the web. Also, the studies show that it should be a tool, and it's a good tool for teens. But it doesn't replace your counselor, your youth group leader, your pastor, your parent, your teacher. It's a place to get maybe how could I ask my parents or how can I tell them that I'm really lonely? And it could write out words for you and you might take those words and actually go talk to your parent. But it's kind of an intermediary for you. Okay. A few ethical concerns that you might want to think about. Sometimes it is incorrect, but it's believable, right? Because we said it might be 99% correct, but at least once it might not be right, but it's written to answer your question. It will answer the question. So we always say sometimes it makes something up. It predicts the best thing it can, but you always want to check those things. Again, not giving out protective information. Making sure that you don't plagiarize from it. If it pulled something and then you just copy pasted into your paper, remembering who's training that AI, are they ethical people? That's why I think you are the key. The more you, your youth counselors, use those tools and ask it to do ethical things and give feedback. It always says, how did I do? I always give it feedback, and then it can do more ethical kinds of things. All right. But again, how to use AI ethically and for good, and determining that it's used for good. So gospel proclaiming projects, and then we can kind of run and share them online. We can ask it to list some sources. Using your tech gifts in the church, I really want to encourage that. I know at our church, we have a family that does the recording for every church service. And then they can, sometimes they have to clean those up. You have the live recording and they post them on maybe a Facebook page or something. So if you can do some of that, or you can create some of these AI things and say, well, that newsletter you send out, that reaches my parents, but like, I don't read the newsletter. So maybe you could take the newsletter and put it into Notebook LM and make a podcast and say, maybe you could put the QR code to the podcast on there for the youth. So those things you could do. And I know your church would be very appreciative. All right. And discuss AI effective use with youth leaders. That's awesome. So again, I do have all these references, so you can just click on them. And again, if you want to, I'm going to now take you in and show you those tools. But if you want to have access to all of those, my favorite tools and the examples, as you kind of think about how you can use your AI gifts to lead in the church and world, one way that you could use AI to help you run the race of endurance effectively. Think about that. What's one more thing that you could do that you might say otherwise? I just don't have time. I'm in like 16 groups at school and I've got homework. And, you know, your youth counselor asks you, could you help us put together something to invite the neighborhood to this event that we're going to have? And you can see, yeah, I could do that. I could do this one thing. What is one way you could use AI to share the gospel? And also, if you have any questions or ideas you ever want to share with me, I would love to hear those. And, you know, my email's on here, and at the bottom of the handout, it has this whole presentation, but it's just lfriedrich@csp.edu. So I'd love to hear from you, and I will put that back up later. But right now, I want to show you a few of those tools. I want to go in quickly and show you this Martin Luther interview. Okay, what I have in color was my initial post, and I just want to kind of show you what did ChatGPT say. So I just said, you know, you're Martin Luther, you're born on this day, your big thing was the 95 Theses, et cetera. ChatGPT said, certainly I will answer as Dr. Martin Luther, reformer, theologian, speaking directly to young people of the Lutheran faith in a way that's accurate for my historical context. And then I said, please share your questions. So I said, what are the 95 Theses? Why were they important? ChatGPT said, my dear young friends in Christ, grace and peace be with you. I am Dr. Martin Luther, a humble servant of the Word of God, and I shall gladly explain the 95 Theses to you. And he goes through them and really does explain them. He lists each of the theses and lists his sources. So he went right to Martin Luther's works. I was impressed. And then he says, would you like to hear what happened to me after they were posted? And I said, what happened to you after those theses were posted? And he says, you asked what happened to me. And he explains, it was not a quiet matter, because although I had written the theses in Latin for scholarly debate among fellow theologians, they were soon translated into German and printed and spread. And so he kind of goes on and explains that. And I said, what advice do you think Martin Luther would give to the new Catholic Pope, Leo XIV? Well, look at this. What a question. If I, Dr. Martin Luther, were to give counsel to new Pope Leo XIV, a successor to the very Pope Leo who condemned me, I didn't remember that. I would do so not with hatred, but with bold truth and love, as one who desires the church to be faithful to Christ. And then he breaks down his advice and gives it in short and gives his sources. Excellent. And then he says, would you like me to compose a mock letter from Luther to Pope Leo XIV, as if I were writing it in modern times? I said, sure, please compose that letter. And he goes, ChatGPT, here I'm saying he. ChatGPT goes on to put together a letter. So that was really powerful. I also wanted to just show you in here with Notebook LM. Let me just bring this up. There's What Lutherans Believe. And this is where you put in the sources, the chat. And over here is the studio. And this is where I can create that. Let me see what I was going to say. That's where I can go ahead and actually create the podcast. And I just wanted you to show really quickly, this is the podcast of How to Invite a Friend to Youth Group. And it was taken from the sources I put in. So in Notebook LM, it only pulls from these sources.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Maybe scrolling through your phone right now or just, getting through the week.
Hey.
We get that, church, or faith stuff might not really be on your radar right now. And honestly, there could be a ton of reasons for that. No judgment at all.
Yeah, totally. And that's actually why we wanted to do this deep dive. We want to talk about something that's, pretty important to us.
It is.
Our youth group, specifically at our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Church, or LCMS. We're kind of hoping to give you a real feel for why we genuinely love it if you came and hung out with us.
Okay, so to do that, we didn't just want to wing it. We looked at some actual sources.
Right.
We've got stuff from Youth Source, that's like the LCMS Youth Ministries website, full of resources. Also, a couple articles from the Lutheran Witness magazine. One's called Taking Your Children to Church. And another asks, why should the average Lutheran kid go to church?
Good question. We also looked at Martin Luther's Small Catechism, which is like a super big...
I'm just going to stop that. Does that sound real to you? Those are AI voices. I have it linked for you. If you do the download, you've got it on there. I thought that was amazing. It put together that podcast in about 30 seconds, only from the sources that I had it pull, only LCMS sources. Now, do you think maybe you would feel good about sharing a podcast? You can make it the length you want to invite friends. And I did another one about why church is important. And it went to President Matthew Harrison. And it just said, it was an article he had published in the Lutheran Witness that he had written about his own students. So I just wanted to show you how very, very real AI can look and sound. We had the SUNY song that we listened to, that it wrote. It can create presentations for you. So remembering, I think, as you're inviting others to your youth group that or coming up with topics that you want to talk about, this can be a really helpful location and place to start. Thank you so much. I'll be around if you have any questions. Have a great day.